kings of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
I lie down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Is very good at how he tries to attack the house of God. And this is what Daniel says here that will happen in the last days. Now, of course, we know that much of this, of course, is speaking about the rest of the saints that are left who have to go through the great tribulation. But we are all very aware of the spirit of this age. And what now is taking place? Now, what is he trying to do here? Well, it's interesting when it says that he's trying to wear down or wear out the saints. It's very interesting in it because it actually speaks of something he's working mentally. He's trying to mentally oppress. He's trying to work depression. He's trying to get our eyes off the Lord and off the Word of God. You see, Satan's attack has been to weaken, it's to harass. And this is what it's actually meaning here. This is what he's trying to do. He's trying to oppress God's people. He's trying to oppress the Christian. And he tries to do this through fear. He tries to do this through persecutions, constant hardships, just the overcoming each day and the hindrances that are thrown and the obstacles in our way. But God is always one step ahead. And God is using all of those in which to cause us to grow stronger in the faith. They are part of the trials of our faith. But this is what the enemy is trying to do. And we have certainly seen this now, haven't we, over the last two and a half years, with the confusion and the chaos that is globally around the world. Fundamentally using all of this to try and attack the Christian faith. Yes, this epidemic, this plandemic, whatever you want to call it, is all the enemy's weapon to try and attack the Christians, the church. He's trying to cause mental fear and confusion and chaos. And we have to be on our guard. We have to discern. We have to test these things to see where they're coming from. You cannot believe social media. You cannot believe most of what you hear. This is why we're baptized in the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit has come to teach us and to guide us. Hallelujah. He is our teacher. He is everything and more that we need to know, because he gives us that discernment. And what he's doing is he's helping us to stand against what the enemy is trying to do, in trying to cause this. In other words, it's what it really says. He's speaking pompous words, arrogance, proud, deceitful. He's trying to trick God's people. But praise the Lord, we have the Holy Spirit, we have the Spirit of truth, and we have his word, and God is speaking loud and clear to us now in these closing days. That's the love and mercy of our Heavenly Father. But he's trying to create these hardships. He's trying to put oppression. He's trying to control. This is why we're seeing control and tyranny now even working through governments. And of course we know through technology and all that's being developed, where we're all being watched 24/7 now, surveyed and so on, it's all to try and control, to create oppression to God's people. And of course his aim is to destroy God's family. His aim is to try and destroy where they will not be remembered anymore. That's what he's trying to do. And he will certainly try and do that in the last part of the Great Tribulation of 3.5 years, when he starts to martyr many of God's people. He doesn't want the world to remember or know any more about Christianity. He wants to wipe it off the face of the earth. He doesn't want the world to have any revelation, any knowledge, any understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the tragic thing is that with young people now, very few have any idea who the Lord Jesus Christ is. They're only aware of his name as a swear word. That's how bad it's getting. And of course, Romans chapter 1 clearly tells us what is happening to man's mind in these last days. He will attempt to abolish all religions, because a lot of religions do hold to the name of Jesus Christ. Even the Roman Catholics do. And we know that the Antichrist will eventually turn on the harlot. He will turn on Rome. Even though they will promote the Antichrist and the false prophets. But in the end, he's even going to turn on all major religions that hold to the name of God, Yahweh, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And not only that, but we're told he's going to change the times and the laws. He will even trample on laws and customs that is known. He wants to change it all. And are we not beginning to see signs of this now happening? Are we not beginning to see a control on what we say? Political correctness now is going completely bonkers. These are all part of the controls, the harassments that the powers of darkness are trying to oppress and work. Do you know that they want to abolish Christmas now? Well, of course, we know that it doesn't hold much to us. We're very aware of what it is. It is pagan. But the point is that many people still believe that Christ was born round about that time. And so they are aware of God born in a manger. God still uses that, but they want now that to be abolished. They don't want you to call it Christmas anymore, seasons and greetings, or Xmas. There's pressures now to start to change that. And of course, Easter and all those things that Christians have held to over the centuries. He's going to change the times and the laws. And he will trample on all these laws and customs. He wants to change law. He wants to change our law in this country. And this is why we're finding now, even around the world, that even the courts are becoming corrupt. Judges, lawyers, many of them are becoming corrupt, because the spirit of this age wants to change it all. In other words, what he's trying to do is to drive a round peg into a square hole. That's what he's trying to do. We know he won't succeed. But we're going to see these changes. These changes are happening. before our eyes. We're seeing these things that cause concern, get us down. There are times when you feel exhausted because you're praying, you're interceding, or you get into warfare and you feel you haven't got any more energy. Well, of course, this is where we rest in the Lord, and we have the Holy Spirit that will lead and guide us. But these are what the powers of darkness are trying to do. I don't know whether it's just me, but I've found since the last year and a half, with all that's going on, and as the Lord shows me to get into warfare and so on, I find the enemy is very, very subtly trying to work, trying to wear you down. Or you get into prayer and warfare, and the next thing is, you know, you're battling to try and keep awake. Or he tries to get your mind wandering off on other things and so on. Well, why is that all happening? He's trying to wear us down, because he knows that our prayers are effective. They're pushing back the powers of darkness. They're binding them until the sons of God come to full maturity, and then they're caught away, caught up to heaven. A lot of our warfare and intercession is so that the man-child will be born, will be birthed. Because the powers of darkness are trying to stop the birthing of the man-child. That is all what's going on now around the world. All that's happening and going on is to attack the man-child that is soon to be born. That's what he's doing. The enemy stops at nothing to try and stop this. So we need to understand this. We need to have our eyes open. It starts then to make sense why at times we're attacked like we are. Because he's trying to wear us down. And so we find with what he's doing, this all will eventually come to its conclusion into the Great Tribulation, the last 3.5 years. And we're told that he will make war with those that are left behind and those who receive Christ as Savior during that time. Let's just remind ourselves back in the book of Revelation 12. And we take it up from verse 6, Revelation chapter 12 and verse 6. Let's just remind ourselves here, and it says, "Then the woman fled into the wilderness, where she had a place prepared by God, because the overcomers, the wise virgins, have been caught up. And so those that are left, they have to flee into the wilderness, where God, that they should feed her there 1,260 days. Who should feed her there? Well, wise virgins. When we're caught up into the heavens, we will have access, just like Christ had, into the heavens and on the earth. We know this because when Jesus rose and was seen, he would appear and disappear, because he had now got the new glorified body, and we take on the same body, the same form. And we will be coming back through the 3.5 years of the Great Tribulation to help and encourage and minister the woman, the saints, the foolish virgins that are left. And then it goes on in verse 7, "And war broke out in heaven. Michael and his angels fought with the dragon, and the dragon his angels fought, but they did not prevail, nor was a place found for them in heaven any longer. So the great dragon was cast out, that serpent of old called the devil and Satan, who deceived the whole world. He was cast to the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." So they no longer have access in the heavenlies where the church is already by faith seated with Christ in heavenly places. Now the church is back where it should be, in its spiritual position and authority. So there's only one thing left now. The serpent, the enemy, is cast to the earth, and he goes forth now through the Antichrist to make war, to try and destroy. And note what he is angry. Then I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, who accused them before God day and night, has been cast down. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. They did not love their lives to death. Therefore rejoice, O heavens, and you who dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea. The devil has come down to you having great wrath, because he knows that he has a short time. Now when the dragon saw that he had been cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman who gave birth to the man-child, that is, the foolish virgins that are left. But the woman was given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness to her place, where she is nourished for a time and times and a half time from the presence of the serpent. So we see that God is merciful. He is going to preserve some. He's going to protect them. Not all, because we know that some are martyred. But it goes on, and the serpent spewed water out of his mouth like a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away by the flood. There is the persecution. But the earth helped the woman, and the earth opened its mouth and swallowed up the flood which the dragon had spewed out of his mouth. And the dragon was enraged with the woman, and he went to make war with the rest of her offspring. So you see, the woman that is left, the foolish virgins that are left, they still evangelize, they still witness, they still minister, and there will still be those who will be born again until the last Gentile comes in. But look what he does. The serpent goes after them, the rest of her offspring, who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. In other words, you don't want to be around in that time. No one wants to be around in that time. That is why we have to do what God shows us now. We have to keep our eyes on him, trust him, believe, obey him, and he will get us ready, because nobody wants to be left when that starts to happen. But we are finding that the pressures on us are to trying to get us to compromise, to get us to go along with all these changes that are happening. There are so many things now that are happening, changes. We're seeing pressures being put on us, and you know what those pressures are. This is all to try and wear us down. Now, brothers and sisters, have discernment what the enemy is trying to do. It's right there, what Daniel speaks about, and we're just picking up a bit of it. This is nothing to what is going to happen when the tribulation and the great tribulation come, and yet we're still feeling the repercussions of all of this. All the technology that's coming out now, and we know that technology is trying to connect with mankind. It will try to wear us down as saints, because in the natural our freedoms as we have known it in the past are going. These are subtle controls which try to wear us down. What are we seeing in the world now? We see so many lies where you can't believe most that what you hear. We're seeing greed like it's never been seen before. The greed that controls global companies is unbelievable. There's such a distrust now amongst people. It just goes on, and all of this is trying to wear us down. All the idolatry, all the injustice that's happening, persecutions that are starting and will gradually get worse. All of it's trying to wear us down. But the good news is, and let's read it again, what is going to happen. Because we see it in verse 26, but the court shall be seated. Whose court? God. And you will be part of that court in judging. And they shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it forever. Then the kingdom and dominion and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heavens shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. So in other words, God doesn't take it for himself. Christ doesn't take it for himself. We're told that we rule and reign with him. Even in the millennium, it's not just left to Christ to do it. We reign and govern with him, because he made the world for man, that he might have dominion. Although it belongs to the Lord Jesus Christ, the whole universe, everything was made by the Father, but he has given us the dominion over this earth, which we know that Adam foolishly gave up when he was deceived. Here it's being restored. So he shall give to people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominions shall serve and obey him. Well, of course, that will throughout eternity. So look what is being restored there, right at the end. So it's good news. And this is why he tries to wear us down, because he knows that we will judge him, and we will judge all the fallen angels and demons. There's going to be a great court, a great judging, and he knows what the overcomers will do with him and where he goes. This is why he tries to wear us down. You have to see what is going on, what is going on globally now, this time, even today, is fundamentally trying to attack the man-child that is soon to be born. That is what this is all about. This pandemic is about to try and attack the man-child. All the draconian things that are being passed around the country and in governments, and tyranny that we're seeing, is all part and parcel to try and attack the overcomers, to wear them down. It is, brothers and sisters. He is that concerned about the man-child that is soon to be born, that all his attentions at the moment is to attack and try and destroy that. And he'll use every means that he can, being the God of this world at the moment, in which to try and attack us. You have to see a bigger picture in this. It's not about just your trial. It's not about this country or whatever it is. This is infinitely bigger. How do we know? Well, let's remind ourselves again in Revelation 3 and verse 7. Revelation chapter 3 and verse 7. And we know this, this is the church in Philadelphia, and to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he who opens and no one shuts, and shuts and no one opens. So this door is open. It is open to go through to the deeper life, to be part of this, and no one can shut it. And the enemy knows this, and so this is why he tries to oppress in the way that he does. Because he knows this door, he has no control over this. God has control over this door, the same as God had control over the door of the ark that Noah built. And this spiritual ark that we are finding ourselves in now, that door is open until God shuts it. I know your works. See, I have set before you an open door, and no one can shut it, for you have little strength, but have kept my word and have not denied my. That is what he looks for. He looks for us who are faithful to his word, and we have not denied his name, because his name is the word. You cannot separate the name of Jesus from the word and the word from Jesus. You can't separate it. And he says, you've got little strength, but you have been faithful to that. That is commendable in God's eyes for these last days. Indeed, I will make those of the synagogue of Satan who say they are Jews and are not, but lie. Indeed, I will make them come and worship before your feet and to know that I have loved you. In other words, I will convict the broad stream media Christianity, who doesn't really love the word of God as they should. They're caught up with all the entertainment of Christianity, and it's a lot more than that. So many Christians want to be entertained, but the overcomers see something far deeper than just being entertained all the time in church. As it says here, they love the word. They hold on, they don't deny the name of Jesus. They are faithful to that name. They're faithful to the word of God. They want to trust in the promises of God's word. That is the narrow way, brothers and sisters. And he goes on in verse 10, because you have kept my command to persevere, that's what he's telling us to do. We've heard it. He says, I want you to persevere. I want you to stay with it. Whatever's happening, whatever it looks like, whatever the enemy is throwing on you or suggesting, I want you to persevere and to stay with it. Stay with what? He's saying, my word, my name. That's what we stay with. I also will keep you from the hour of trial which shall come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth. There is the rapture. Nothing yet has come on the whole world until the tribulation and great tribulation. History, the last thing that came on the whole world was what? Was the flood. Noah. And Jesus says in Matthew 24, it will be like that, the times of Noah. And here it is. He says, I will keep you, I will preserve you, which will come upon the whole world to test those who dwell on the earth, whether they love God or not. There is the promise again of the snatching away. The rapture of the overcomers. Behold, I'm coming quickly. Hold fast what you have, that no one may take your crown. That speaks of royalty. It speaks of overcomers, the man-child. He who overcomes, I will make him a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go out no more. Pillars are vital in the house of God. They hold the structure, the roof. They bear the weight. That's what pillars are. That's the nature of a pillar. And he says, that's what I'm going to make of you. I'll give you the responsibility in my house. I will write on him a new name. The name of my God, the name of the city of my God, the new Jerusalem which comes down out of heaven for my God. I will write on him my new name. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. And that is so vital, that we have to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church, because there are many, many, many voices out there. But few are calling God's people to a deeper walk and commitment and consecration before God. Christianity is not just about entertainment. It's not about running from church to church, ministry to ministry, and so on, which so many do. It is a commitment. And he says it right back. He says, a commitment to my word. To my name. I want you to endure and be faithful and stay with what I give you. He says, you've got little strength. I know that. You don't have to tell me you're weak. You don't have to tell me that you battle in the faith. You don't have to tell me that you find prayer difficult and hard. He says, I know all of that. And yet, look what he promises there. Because when you have little strength, you can't boast in anything. The only one you can boast in is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Your boast can only be in him, what he has done and what he is doing. They are the overcomers. And we all know. We can't do anything without him. He's made us totally, completely, utterly dependent, desperate on him. And that's the way he wants it. So we know for the overcomer our attacks. And where does he try to attack us? Well, you guessed it, in the mind. That's the battleground. That's where he tries to attack. If he can't attack you in your circumstances, he's going to try and attack you in the mind. And if ever we have seen the mind under attack now over this last 2 years, 2.5 years, it's alarming. Why even medical science is so concerned about many who are under mental oppression. Why is all of this? Because the enemy is out to try and wear down the saints. He's using this to try and attack your mind, to get your mind, your heart, your thinking off the Lord Jesus Christ. He's very subtle, and he's using all of this to try and attack the church, the overcomers, the first fruits. That's what he's trying to do. Have you found your mind under real attack and oppression over this last 2 years or so? Of course you have. It's a minefield. With all this lockdown and all that goes on, this is what he's trying to do. He's trying to wear the saints of God down. That attack is on the house of God. He's using this globe to attack the church. When will Christians wake up to what he's doing, the powers of darkness? Because once you find out what the enemy's doing, then you're alert. You know how to start praying. You know not to think on these things anymore, but to resist them. This oppression and depression, loneliness he's trying to work, but all of these things. I know he tries to work it on me. But I've seen in the Word of God what he's trying to do. Daniel speaks of it in the last days. But we know in the mind that this is where the battle is won or it's lost. But guess what? As I close with this, God is still in control. He has still gone before and prepared the way. And even though at times your mind is, it feels oppressed or down or whatever it is, you can be well assured God is in control, and he would not allow this unless this is working together for good in your life. Trust me. I know these trials that we go through, they're all tailor-made. He will not allow us to go through it otherwise. There's always a bigger picture in your trials. And once you get your mind and your attention off them, and you get your mind and heart back on the Lord and on his word, then you begin to see the bigger picture, what he's doing. And it's mind-blowing. And so often, it's deliverance. That's the nature of it. And once you get delivered of these things, you become much more wiser of the old serpent and how he's trying to work. So we can't lose in this, brothers and sisters. We can't lose in it. And we've already read it to you in verses 26 and 27 of what Daniel says. But make no bones about it. What we are seeing now, what we are experiencing, what governments are trying to bring in, and all this new reset, a new world order and everything, is all trying to bring down the saints of God. That is the attack. It's on us. And remember that. And when you keep that in mind, then you will understand spiritual warfare. You will understand your prayers, your intercessions, and why God burdens and leads us in the way that he does. You then get a different perspective of it. And this is vital for us to understand this, particularly in this hour that we're living in. Because we do not know how much of our liberty, our freedom, is going to be removed from us. And it's all to try and to get us down and oppress us. But hey, guess what? We're called overcomers. And we've overcome all these things. And remember as I close, when you get in prayer next with God, remember before you open your mouth, the victory has already been won. Remember that. So your prayers are always on victory ground. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord. Thank you that you are working in us both to will do for your good pleasure. Father, we thank you that we cannot go wrong in this. Even though the enemy is trying to oppress us and bring us down, he's trying to work fear in us, but you've told us that we do not have fear because we have that sound mind, we have the mind of Christ. We have that new nature, you in us. You've made us anew. Lord, we thank you, Father, for this. And even though the enemy is trying to deceive and lie, and oppress, and all these things that we hear, and in the news and so on. Lord, we thank you that we have overcome all of this. And so, Lord, thank you for this teaching. Thank you for our fellowship. Lord, bless my brothers and sisters, wherever they be around the world. May they overcome by the blood of the Lamb. For this we ask now, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen.
So disaster, let him in constancy follow the master.
All lies down before you, and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find secure.